I was asked to put the garland on Prabhupada. And I always remember that when Prabhupada came through the doors of the lounge, it was that his smile was like, as I say, oceanic. It was just an oceanic smile. And I could just, straight away, I actually froze. But I remember actually thinking that this person's not in this dimension. You know, even as I was only young then, I was only just turned 18, but I could tell this person's not in this world. He's not on this planet. And I froze. I couldn't put the garland on Prabhupada. So I was just standing there looking at him. And Prabhupada, of course, was just beaming. And I wasn't the only garland, but devotees were coming up to him. But I just froze. I didn't pay my obeisance or anything. I just froze. And Prabhupada walked straight past me, and I was standing there with this big garland. And I'm just looking at this person. Then I ran up to Prabhupada and slipped the garland on him. But it was kind of funny because I was obviously the reception committee with the garland, but I actually just froze. I didn't know what to do, you know. And I remember that, you know, particularly Prabhupada's smile just knocked me out. And I remember one thing was that all the devotees were crying practically. That's the fascinating thing about it. I looked around, and there was a lot of devotees there, and a lot of people were crying. And I think that just made me even more kind of amazed at the potency of this person. You know, that someone could walk through a door and cause everyone to cry. You know, it was just fascinating. And another time we were doing initiations, and at the initiations, Prabhupada was very grave. You know, when he was chanting on the beads, he was chanting on all these beads, and he was very, very grave. And I was sitting just below the Vyasasana. I was thinking, Prabhupada's so grave, you know. And yet, then when one boy came up, Prabhupada was holding up the beads like that. And so Prabhupada said to him, he said, "So what are the four regulated principles?" So the boy said, "No intoxication, no gambling, no media, no illicit sex." And then Prabhupada said, "So which one do you like the best?" And the boy went bright red, you know. He went completely red. And I just thought that was really funny because Prabhupada had been so grave. It was so serious an occasion, and yet he kind of completely talked like that. In St. James's Park, Prabhupada would constantly be pointing out things, different things. I mean, there was one time we were in a park, and there was that story, which I remember, but there was some bird droppings. You know, and Prabhupada was asking, he was saying, "What is this?" And everyone was kind of looking at the bird droppings and thinking, well, you know, like, they were kind of thinking, well, maybe Prabhupada means some tea leaf formations, you know, like we could esoterically look at it. And Prabhupada said, "What does this tell you?" And everyone was kind of bewildered. And then Prabhupada said, "This tells you that the same bird is sleeping on the same branch every night." So Prabhupada said, "Even the bird becomes attached to his apartment." So the Prabhupada says, "So be careful." One time we were going past Buckingham Palace. So we were very proud at that time that one boy had joined who was part of the Queen's Guards. You know, the guys who wear the big furry hats. So as we were passing the palace, we were in a taxi with Prabhupada. So we looked over and we said, "Prabhupada, one of the Queen's personal guards has joined." And then Prabhupada said, "Oh, so what about the Queen?" I remember different things on morning walks. One thing was that Prabhupada was always commenting about the state of society. And one of the things he'd noticed was these people would sleep in the parks. They'd sleep under, in the sleep bags or just on the newspaper or whatever. So Prabhupada was just explaining how karma is such that even though you have so much advancement, he said, such an advanced society, he said, but still they can't avoid karma. So Prabhupada said, you can see these people, they're still suffering. Even though they're living in a very civilized country, still they are sleeping in a vulnerable condition. And another thing that Srila Prabhupada was pointing out one morning, we were asking him about advancement. So Prabhupada very, very determinedly stopped, and then he took one step forward, and then Prabhupada pointed to his leg, and he said, "When one leg is firmly fixed," then Prabhupada said, "then one moves the next leg." So Prabhupada said, in that way, one can make advancement. But Prabhupada said, not to run, simply falling, you know, falling over. So one time Prabhupada was very ill. And that was a time when he actually collapsed in his room. Shamsundar, it was late at night, and Shyamasundar rushed in and just caught Prabhupada. But he said that Srila, you know, Prabhupada didn't fall as such, but he just sort of like, he was very weak. He called out to Shyamasundar. And Shyamasundar said when he went in there, and he Prabhupada kind of fell into his arms. And he said Prabhupada was incredibly light. So what we did then, we all actually stayed in bed that morning. No one got up because we didn't want to disturb Prabhupada at all. And when we got up, everyone had to be really quiet. And we had 24-hour kirtan, very nice kirtan in the temple. Anyway, about 3 days later, we were just walking on a morning walk with Prabhupada. Suddenly Prabhupada got really well again. And we're on this morning walk. And one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, he said that, Srila Prabhupada, how is it that a pure devotee, someone who's a pure devotee, how does he get sick? And Prabhupada stopped. And I always remember it because it was so loving. Prabhupada's eyes got really big. You know, like Prabhupada used to, his eyes would get very big. And he stopped, and he became very emotional. And Prabhupada said, it is just like the lover. Prabhupada said, sometimes the lover, what is this? And Prabhupada went like that, what is it? Sometimes they're biting like this. And he said, oh, love bite, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, yes. So Prabhupada said, similarly, Krishna, he has his love bites. So sometimes he bites the devotee. And then he smiled. But it was very, you could tell it was very, you know, that it was very deep. I remember one time that, we were having prasadam. Prabhupada was taking prasadam in his room, and Jamuna was cooking. It was Malati and Jamuna. I know that Malati was running up and down because Prabhupada liked his puris when they popped, so they had to be hot. So I remember there was this whole kind of shuffling up and down the stairs with these hot puris. So I was kind of fascinated, so I popped my head around the corner, and it was Malati. Malati was saying to Prabhupada, she was saying to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how many puris can you eat, you know? And because she brought, I don't know how many puris she brought to Prabhupada. She brought him a lot of puris. And Prabhupada was as she would bring the puris, Prabhupada was respecting the prasadam. And so anyway, when she came to like this final puri, she was thinking, how many more times can I go up and down? So she said to Prabhupada, how many puris can you eat? And Prabhupada just looked at her and said, more than you can make. Like that. I remember his eyes got really big and he just laughed. And I remember looking at it, it was like a coward boy. Somehow Prabhupada at that time, he was just so, you know, like he was very ecstatic. He was kind of hitting himself on his knee and he said, more than you can make. Prabhupada also was greeting at the deities when he first arrived. So he said, be very careful. He said, do not become proud. He said, you're dealing with Radha and Krishna. Don't be proud. Then everything will be spoiled. And then another time, one guest asked Prabhupada, he says, why does Krishna have peacock feather? You know, and I remember I was thinking, well, Prabhupada's going to give some far out esoteric reason, you know, that peacocks are this and therefore he goes there. And Prabhupada just turned around and said, because he likes them. You know, it's the way Prabhupada said it. It was just so, it was so simple. And actually, Prabhupada said on another occasion also, he said that he was sitting on the Vyasasana and he said, this Krishna consciousness, it is so simple, you will miss it. He said, it is so simple, you will miss it. And I always remember that because it was just so simple, you know, what he was saying. And yet it was so deep. Because Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you will miss it. So there were another time also went to see the Indian ambassador with Prabhupada. That was a very nice occasion, and we didn't have a car at the time. Actually, the temple was very poor, so we went to see the Indian ambassador, and I had to announce in the amongst the guests. I said, "Has anyone got a car we could use?" There was a few guests there, so one hippie said, "I've got one, and your Swami can use it." And we looked outside, and it was a beagle, but it was all flowers on it. It was like a really, it was a ridiculous looking car, you know. And I thought, boy, Prabhupada, how can we put Prabhupada in this? But we had to go for the meeting. So we got in the car with Srila Prabhupada, Shyamasundar and myself, and there was Prabhupada, and this hippie driving. So we went off down to the Indian embassy. And one of the things I remember about the meeting was when we got to see the Indian ambassador, Prabhupada just sat there and he was so relaxed. He was so transcendental. And at the same time, he was just talking about Srila Rupa Goswami. So I knew Prabhupada had come for some intention. So I was thinking, I didn't exactly know why he'd come. Later on, I found out he'd come to get five-year visas for his missionary visas for his devotees in India, in America, the American devotees particularly. And so he was talking about Srila Rupa Goswami and the Goswamis, and then he showed him Nectar Devotion, he gave him Nectar Devotion, and for about half an hour, Prabhupada just talked about the Goswamis. And then at the end of it, so the gentleman was so kind of purified, the Indian ambassador, so then he started talking to him in a very personal way. He called him by his first name. He said, so, Abhay Pant was now, not Abhay, Abu Pant or something. And he said, so Abu, last time I was here, you said, Swamiji, whatever you want, I will do, you know, if I can help you. He said, so now I have one request. And by that time, they were in such a nice relationship that he couldn't refuse. You know, Prabhupada completely melted him. And he wanted him to get in touch with Indira Gandhi. And he wanted him to arrange for the five-year visas. So, as I remember, he went off at that time, and the Indian ambassadors tried to, he was going to contact through Delhi, the Indira Gandhi. And but it was just such an amazing way that Prabhupada had actually had kind of, you know, softened him by talking about the Goswamis and the philosophy. So, you know, it fascinated me how he dealt with that particular person, because there was no kind of business-like stuff. It was just that Prabhupada was, you could see, he was an ambassador from the Goswamis, and he was meeting the Indian ambassador, and he did it on his grounds. He didn't do it on their grounds. He didn't behave like a diplomat or in any way try to conform to their idea of negotiations. And that really kind of struck. Then what happened was that we did a program. We had a big program in Glasgow. And this was far up, because actually Prabhupada had, that morning we went to the program, he hadn't eaten. He had a bit of breakfast. But what I didn't realize was I had to go early and arrange the setup. And Prabhupada came over by train. And in the train he met this very nice Indian man. He really liked the journey. He was telling us afterwards. And anyway, what happened was, though, I don't think they brought him any prasadam. So he must have left about noontime, or maybe 1 o'clock. So between that, right up until the evening time, he hadn't practically eaten, but he never complained once. So anyway, we got to the hall and we had this program, and it was a far out program, because the hall was packed. I don't know how, what, you know, in those days it was a big hall. I think there was at least 500 people in there. There was 400 or 500 people, and they were like, they loved Prabhupada. Somehow the Scottish took a real liking to Prabhupada. So we had this big Vyasa sign on the stage, and we had a massive kirtan. Hansa Duda was leading and everything. It was a real ecstatic kirtan. And these street urchins, there was these kids that had come in off the street because we let anyone in, and they were dancing like anything, and Prabhupada was really encouraging them. There was a whole rapport going on between them and Prabhupada. And I thought I was far out, because most of the time we were trying to get them out. And Prabhupada would, you could see Prabhupada didn't like that the devotees were trying to pull them away, so I stopped it. But anyway, so Prabhupada did this amazing lecture. It's actually, I've heard it many times since. And he lectured from the Bhagavad Gita. And what happened was, at the end of the lecture, so Prabhupada said, so, are there any questions? And then one guy stood up and he started to say, you know, basically what he was trying to say was that I am God. But he, first of all, he started waffling some stuff. And then he came to the point. He said, actually, he said, we're all God. And Prabhupada wasn't saying a word. Prabhupada was just letting him speak. Now, he was speaking, and the object was, he was in person, but he was saying, we're all God, it's all one. And then suddenly he ran out of words. And Prabhupada was just sitting there. Prabhupada looked very, very great, but like a lion. He was just sitting there like a lion. And suddenly there was this complete silence, because the guy ran out of words. And so there was just this guy looking at Prabhupada. He was right at the front of the audience, looking straight up at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was looking straight at him. And then Prabhupada said, you are not God. You are dog. And he said it in such an amazing way that the guy practically fell back on his seat. The Shakti, and the guy just fell back. And the whole audience stood up and clapped and cheered and whistled. It was like Celtic had just scored a goal in World Cup. I mean, it was an amazing reaction. Everyone just clapped and cheered and everything. And I could see, I was looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada actually, he was shocked at the reaction. They just all completely backed up Prabhupada. And what happened was that after the program, we took Prabhupada to the back, and all we had was oranges. the feast. We were so poor that the feast was oranges. I mean, you can imagine that for the public. But even then, so we gave Prabhupada about, we gave him 5 oranges, and then we gave him another 5. I think he ate about 10 oranges. Now, what happened was that when Prabhupada was leaving the hall, I can swear on this till the day I die, Prabhupada was intoxicated. It was like he was in complete ecstasy. He was staggering down the hall. Now, I was looking at Prabhupada. I was holding the door. And it was only Prabhupada and me. And his servant was coming behind. And I was just looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada had this beam that was like incredible. He was just intoxicated. And you could tell, it was like this. I've never seen Prabhupada like that before. And when Prabhupada got to the door, I was holding the door, but I was one step below him. And he just put both his hands on my head, and he started rubbing my head. And I was just standing there, and this Prabhupada rubbing my head. And I just kind of like, I couldn't believe it. I said, what is going on? And Prabhupada was rubbing my head in a very, very gentle way. He said, I am very pleased with what you have done. He said, now you preach this Krishna consciousness all over Scotland. It was just such a beautiful way. It was like, you know, Prabhupada, you know, it's hard to explain it because it was just one of those moments that you'll never... Okay, so what happened was that Prabhupada called me back into the room, and I was kind of fascinated then because now I'm in the room of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's going to have a shave. So I was drying myself off, and Prabhupada was in the mirror with this, and he'd soaked up, and he had this, Nanda Kumar was standing behind him with a towel and some stuff. And now the only thing you have to check is Nanda Kumar, because that I can't focus in on. I don't think, it might have been Shruti Kirti, but I don't think so. You know, it's one of those things, because with Prabhupada, I always remember, you know, kind of servants, but they were always Nanda Kumar or Shruti Kirti or something like that. So I'm pretty sure it was Nanda Kumar. But anyway, Prabhupada's trying to use the razor. So I could see Prabhupada was disturbed, and I was fascinated the way Prabhupada was so angelic. He was like going like this. So Prabhupada was looking. So he turned to Nanda Kumar and said, this is Gillette? First of all, he was holding the razor in his hand like that, and he said, and then he looked at Nanda Kumar and said, and he was pointing to the dial, because Prabhupada has a razor with a dial on it, and he adjusts it. And he said, there's no dial? Not here? Like that. You know how Prabhupada would question. He said, dial? And then Nanda Kumar said, no, that one, that's not your regular razor, Prabhupada. It doesn't have a dial. And Prabhupada said, is it? Then Prabhupada said, it is Gillette? And then Nanda Kumar said, no, it's not Gillette. Prabhupada said, simply bogus. And the way it was like unbelievable. It was like he'd rejected, you know, like someone who rejects Mayavadi philosophy. Prabhupada just said, simply bogus. And he said it in such a wonderful way. And the razor just sort of floated. He didn't throw it, but there was a shelf there, and it just landed on the shelf. But Prabhupada just went, simply bogus.